Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you do love us so very much. We pray now that you would meet with us in this place. We pray that in these few moments together, we might draw closer to you and closer to each other. That as we leave here, we might be ready to go out into the world and let them know that in the midst of all of the sorrow and pain and agony that's going on, there's a God who loves and cares for us and who wants to make life worth living here and hereafter. Meet with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Joy Unspeakable, and the words will be on the screen.
I invite you to join with us now as we unite our hearts and voices in this historic confession of our Christian faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
May be seated.
As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God?
Dabney's aunt is in critical care as we speak.
Pardon?
Dabney's aunt is in critical care as we speak. She is losing a lot of blood and they don't know why.
Dabney's aunt is in critical care, is losing a lot of blood and they don't know why. And how often have I heard that? We just had a friend that just got out of the hospital this past week. He took 5 pints of blood and they have no idea where it was going. So yeah, we will certainly keep them in our prayers. Any others? As we prepare for prayer this morning, you're familiar with that chorus, Alleluia. We sang it 2 or 3 weeks ago. Like to do a little bit of a variation on that. We're going to sing the chorus, Alleluia, that you're so familiar with, just that word 8 times as a chorus. And then we will do some lyrics that you're familiar with, but we'll do them to the same tune of Alleluia, okay? It's easy enough. The words are up here on the screen. You see the dashes there? There's a pause there, okay? Let's start out singing Alleluia, okay?
Alleluia.
Father, this morning we are singing Alleluia because you love us so very much. because you're watching over us each moment of each day. Because we know, Lord, that in this world that seems to be going so far away from your will and your plan, that you're with us every moment of every day. Remind us that nothing will happen to us today, this week, this month. Nothing will even happen to us on election day that us and God together can't handle. We thank you, Lord. We pray that you would help us moment by moment that we might dare to trust in you. We realize today that there are those who are going through times of physical need and problems. These bodies of ours seem to wear out so quickly, Lord. We're so glad that you are the great physician. We just pray that you'd be with each one today. Be with those who are facing procedures and surgeries, those who are recuperating. We pray that you'd be with those of us, Lord, who realize that not only is it fall according to the calendars, but so many of us are in the fall or even the winter seasons of life. Remind us, Lord, that spring is coming when there's new life. And in our lives, in our spiritual lives, with our souls, there is that eternal spring that will be coming when we'll be with you. We pray that you'd be with those that are going through times of financial difficulties. Remind us, Lord, that not only do you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, but you own all the taters in them hills too. Help us that we might dare to trust you. Your word promises that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. We pray today that you'd be with those who are going through times of grief, grieving over the loss of loved ones, over the loss of youth and health, grieving over the loss of jobs, grieving over relationships, grieving over the loss of pets, whatever it may be, Lord, remind us that you do care for us so very much. We pray that you'd be with our great nation today. Oh, how we need your help. We pray, God, that you would remind us that we are who we are and where we are today because we were founded as one nation under God. May we not forget that. We pray today that you'd be with our troops, be with our first responders, police, fire, EMT, all of them, Lord. We just pray that you'd keep them all safe. Be with their families, Lord. Give them comfort and strength. We pray today that you'd be with our leaders. Local, state, national, world. Lord, so often it's so easy for them to get on the wrong track. We just pray that you'd guide them and direct them and show them your will and plan. Be with those who are aspiring to be our leaders. We pray that you'd guide and direct their lives also. Get our eyes off everything else and get them on Jesus Christ. The same Jesus who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your many wonderful blessings to us. We are so blessed. We pray now that you would bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, no, you may not. We got a song to sing, don't we? Okay, very good. Okay. Here's Terry.
Sunshine in my soul. Sorry, I was about to tell you the chorus song. You got me all messed up.
Sunshine in my soul today.
Seated, and children, would you please come down?
Hey, guys. Hey. This morning, we're talking, our service is on joy. Do you think it's been pretty joyful in here this morning? Have you been listening to this singing? Hadn't it been something else? It's been pretty joyful. What kind of things make you happy?
Singing.
Singing makes you happy. What? I'm almost afraid to ask. What makes you happy? What?
Rocking down.
Rocking down makes him happy. What else makes you happy? God makes you happy. Very good, Miss B. Very good. Anything else? I think like going outside makes you happy, doesn't it? Don't you like to go outside?
I like tractors.
He likes tractors. Absolutely. Well, what kind of things make you sad? Whoopings. What makes you sad, Bailey? What makes you sad? Anything make you sad at all?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. Well, I guess that's good.
When I get happy, tractors come.
Tractors come when you get happy. Okay. All right. Well, when you think about things that make you happy and things that make you sad, it's pretty simple.
When
things
make
Okay, you sit down. Let us finish this right now, okay?
When bad tractors come, you will...
Bad tractors come, okay. Do you think we're obsessed with tractors, maybe? When good things happen, we're joyful, we're happy, right? When good things happen. When bad things happen, we're sad, right? Well, you know, Jesus said in the Bible, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Now, does that mean that bad things are never going to happen? Does that mean that Jesus said that bad things will never happen in our lives? No, it doesn't. But the one thing that he tells us that in spite of the bad things in our life, he is always there to love us and to help us through everything, right? Let's pray. You ready? Let's remember that. Dear Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you that we have lots of things to be happy about. And we thank you that we have things that make us sad because it helps us to remember the good things that do happen. And Lord, we just pray that you will always help us to remember that in spite of anything that's going on in our lives, that we have something to be happy about. We have your love for us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture is Psalms 126, verses 2 and 3. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. As the choir gets ready to sing, I want you to notice, I glanced over here and I thought, whoa, but there are still four or five or six more that are out here that need to be up here. Okay, we've got places for you, we've got robes for you, and we would love to have you be a part of the choir.
Walking in sunlight on a journey over the mountains through the deep veil, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never shall fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul.
Pressing my way to mansions above.
I thought it was kind of interesting. I believe this is the first Sunday since I've been here that it has rained. And this is the morning we've sung two songs about sunshine. So maybe for a while we need to keep singing those, and maybe we'll get out of this drought situation that we're in. You know, it's really sad to see the perception that so many of the people in the world today have about God. And unfortunately, most of them got that perception from people who profess to be Christians. They got that perception from going to church. One of the most tense, most uptight, most segregated times of the week is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. There's a gospel song that I enjoy that says, I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Now, you go on a little bit further in the lyrics, and it says, what a sight just to see all the happy faces. You get the idea. What a sight just to see all the happy faces. Okay, we got three up here. Good. Okay. Praising God and heavenly faces, love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Ella Wheeler Wilcox said, laugh and the world laughs with you, weep and you weep alone, for the sad old earth must borrow its mirth but has sorrows enough of its own. Now, some of you here this morning are probably old enough, even though you wouldn't admit it, to remember Guy Lombardo. He wrote a song that said, if you smile at the sun will smile at you. If you laugh at the rain, your rainbows will come true. Keep looking for those bluebirds, and bluebirds you will find. There really are no skies of gray, they're only in your mind. If you plant daffodils, your daffodils will grow. If your heart wears a grin, wears a smile, it will show. So smile at the sun, and you'll find that if you do, the sun will smile right back at you. Or at least they tell me that's how the song goes. That's before my time. But the good news is, you know, so often we get so worn down and our muscles get to be sore after a while. The good news is that it takes 64 muscles to frown and only 13 to smile. Now, does this mean that Christians are happy all the time? No, it does not. Perhaps you've seen that commercial where the people are holding up the false face, they're making it look like they're smiling. I've been in so many churches where people, you'd think they'd been to Walmart and stolen some of their smiley faces, you know, because they just seem to be putting on that false face. You know, their life is falling apart and they've had a terrible week, and you ask them how things are going, and they say, oh, it's just going wonderful, praise the Lord. No, it's not. It's going terrible. Christians don't have to be happy all the time, but Christians should be joyful. Christians should be able to have joy all the time, and there's a difference. What is that difference? Happiness is contingent on outside circumstances. It's raining today. So? The stock market fell. So? I'm not sure how secure my job is. My health isn't what it should be. Family relationships are really down from what they should be. Have you been watching the political ads on television this week? Happiness is contingent upon all of those things going just right. And it's not very often that all of them go right at the same time. Joy, on the other hand, is internal. It's in spite of everything else. When things are going well, we're elated. When hardships come, we become depressed. True joy takes us above and beyond the circumstances of life. It comes from a consistent relationship with Jesus Christ. Early in my ministry, I read an interpretation of Isaiah 40:31. We're all familiar with that. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In this article that I was reading, he was talking about that phrase that says, they that wait upon the Lord. And so often we think, okay, God, I'm waiting. Come on, God, I'm waiting. Okay, God, when you're going to do something, God, I'm waiting. But he says the Hebrew word there is the word kahwa, which doesn't mean just to keep your eye on the clock and say, oh, okay, when's God going to do something? But it means more to be intertwined. Those who are intertwined with God will mount up with wings like eagles. You take a little thread, and it's not very strong. It breaks with just a little bit of tension. But if you were to wrap that little thread around a steel cable, that thread would take on the strength of the cable. With our thin, fragile, frail human lives, if we allow God to intertwine every part of our life, suddenly we take on the strength that God has for you and for me. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me share a passage from you from the book of Nehemiah. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, don't weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. All the people had been weeping as he listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of choice foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites too quieted the people, telling them, hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day. So the people went away to eat and drink at a potluck dinner. A festive meal is what it says, but it's the same thing. To share gifts of food and to celebrate with great joy because they had heard because they had heard God's words and understood them. As we look through the scripture, we see a lot of mention of the idea of joy. Galatians 5, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, and then the others. Luke 2 talks of great joy. The angel told the shepherds, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. 1 Peter 4, wonderful joy. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad because these trials will make you partners with Christ in his suffering, and afterward you will have the wonderful joy of sharing his glory when it is displayed to all the world. Matthew 2, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. 2 Corinthians 8, talking to the Macedonians and their abundance of joy. If we read in this passage, we find there are two reasons why the Macedonians had an abundance of joy. One was because of their poverty, and the other one was because they had an opportunity to give. John 15, I've told you this so that you will be filled with my joy, and yes, your joy will overflow. I command you to love each other in the same way that I have loved you. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. You are my friends if you obey me. Then finally, 1 Peter 1. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We sang about that this morning, didn't we? It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now you know where it came from, 1 Peter 1. For many people, they think of God and they think of an old man with a long white beard. No, that's Santa Claus. Okay, God doesn't look that way. But that's how we think of God, just an old man sitting on the throne up in the clouds there, just waiting for us to mess up. He has a scowl on his face. And he's going to get us. That may be the way some churches and some individuals operate and the way they see God. But this is not who God is. Listen to a passage from Luke 15. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners. We have a friend that works for the IRS. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such despicable people and even eating with them. So Jesus used this illustration. If one of you had 100 sheep and one of them strayed away and was lost in the wilderness, wouldn't you leave the 99 others to go and search for the lost one until you found it? And then you would joyfully carry it home on your shoulders. When you arrived, you would call together your friends and neighbors to rejoice with you because your lost sheep was found. In that same way, heaven will be happier over one lost sinner who returns to God than over 99 others who are United Methodist all their life. Close, okay. Or suppose a woman has 10 valuable silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and look for it in every corner of the house and sweep every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call all of her friends and neighbors to rejoice with her because she's found her lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told him a story. A man had two sons. You remember the story of the prodigal son and all that happened? And finally, when he came back, the father says, "We had to celebrate this happy day." All through the scripture, we find that God's people are to be a people who are rejoicing. A number of years ago, a train stopped in a small southern Georgia town to take on water for the engine. One of the passengers stepped off the train, and there was an elderly gentleman sitting there on the platform whittling, okay? And the passenger walked up to him, and he said, "Does anyone around here enjoy their religion?" The old-timer sat there a minute, set his knife down, and he says, "Them that has does." Now, in four words, he made four grammatical mistakes. His grammar was questionable, but his theology was right on target. The question was, does anyone around here enjoy their religion? His answer translated to, "Those who have the right kind of religion are joyful people. Real Christian faith makes us joyful and confident. We gather here on Sundays to draw closer to God and to each other, and to allow God's love and grace and joy to fill us to overflowing so then we can go out into our world and make a difference. Our world is searching for God. Almost daily we hear about people who think that blowing themselves up will help them find God. We see people who are willing to mutilate or starve themselves trying to find God. I read an interesting story a while back. You know, we talk about God moments. And every one of us has God moments in our lives. Sometimes we recognize them and sometimes we don't. There was a young boy. He wanted to meet God. He knew it'd be a long trip, so he got out his backpack from under his bed, and into his backpack he put a six-pack of root beer and some Twinkies. And he went out the back door and started this journey. About three blocks from home, He saw an old woman sitting on a bench in the park. He sat down on the bench next to her, unzipped his backpack. He took out a root beer. And then he took out another one and offered it to the lady. She took it gratefully and smiled. Her smile was so pretty that the boy wanted to see it again. So he offered her a Twinkie. Again, she smiled. The boy was delighted. They sat there all afternoon, drinking root beer and eating Twinkies. They never said a word. As twilight approached, the boy got up to leave. He had only gone a few steps when he turned around and ran back and gave the woman a big hug. She gave him the biggest smile ever. When the boy got home, his mother was surprised by the smile on his face, and she asked, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" He replied, "I had lunch with God." Then he added, "You know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen." Meanwhile, the old woman, also radiant with joy, returned to her son's house where she lived. Her son was surprised by the radiant look on her face. And he asked, "Mother, what did you do today that made you so happy?" She answered, "I ate Twinkies and drank root beer with God in the park." And then she said, "You know, he's much younger than I expected." Too often, we underestimate the power of a touch or a kind word or a listening ear or an honest compliment or even the smallest act of caring. All of these have the potential to turn somebody's day and even somebody's life around. People come into our lives for a reason, for a season, or for a lifetime. We need to embrace all equally. Have lunch with God, and be sure to bring the Twinkies. Unfortunately, many people have the kind of faith that's not much of a source of joy. They're dedicated but not joyful. They scowl more than they smile. They criticize more than they celebrate. Another small boy went to church with his grandmother one day. Her approach to religion was stern and puritanical. As the boy was sitting there in the sanctuary, he saw his friend a couple rows over, and he smiled at him. The grandmother slapped him and said, "Quit that. We don't smile in church." Guess how many Sundays I go back to that church. There was still another small boy who went to spend the weekend on his grandfather's farm. Sunday morning, he was up bright and early, and he went outside to explore. The birds were singing in the trees, and the boy, trying to imitate them, whistled a tune. His grandfather opened the screen door and said loudly, "We do not whistle on the Lord's Day." Then as the lad walked by the corral there was a young colt in there. And he was running and kicking up his heels, and the boy was running trying to keep up with him. Again, the screen door flew open, and the grandfather says, "We don't act that way on the Sabbath." Little boy walked a little further down the fence. And there was the old mule, his head hanging over the fence, long ears drooped down, big old sad eyes. A little boy walked up to the mule and threw his arms around the mule's neck, and he said, "Bless you, mule. You look like you've got the same kind of religion that Grandpa has." Now, our Christian faith, folks, is good news of great joy. Too often, the gospel message is perverted to beat us down. just when we need to be lifted up. Our world needs Christians who rejoice always. One thing the Christian gospel offers to you and to me is a deep, abiding joy that stays with us even in the darkest days of our lives. Happiness, confidence, abundant life, these are part of Jesus' legacy to you and to me. He said, "These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." The word gospel itself means good news or glad tidings. The angels on that first Christmas night said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people." Let me share with you quickly three truths that should brighten your day. First of all, the Bible is a joyful book. We already said that Nehemiah tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. Job, in the midst of all of his suffering, remarked, "God will fill our mouths with laughter and our lips with shouts of joy." Almost every page of the Psalms gives us words of joy. One of them says, "In your presence, O Lord, is fullness of joy. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. Let them sing your joyful praises forever. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Isaiah wrote, "I am overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord." In the New Testament, the joy notes seem to heighten. Harry Emerson Fosdick said, "The New Testament is the most joyful book in the world. It opens with joy over the birth of Jesus, and it ends with a picture of a multitude which no one can number, singing the Hallelujah chorus. No matter where we open the Bible, no matter what the circumstances, we always hear a note of joy. There's already enough tragedy in the New Testament to make it the saddest book in the world, but instead it is the most joyful." The Bible's a joyful book. Here's a second thought. Jesus was a joyful person. Unfortunately, artists usually portray Jesus as a man of sorrows. There's a painting of Jesus that we probably ought to get a copy of and we all ought to put up somewhere in our house. Not make a shrine out of it, not worship it, but just to remind us, it's called the Laughing Jesus. A lot of times we don't think of that. If you go online, you'll find a number of pictures and sketches of Jesus laughing. Everywhere Jesus went, he generated a real, genuine happiness and joy in the lives of people. Think about it. If Jesus had been a grouch, the children wouldn't have followed him. If he had been sad and sullen, the crowds wouldn't have run after him. They would have run away from him. If Jesus had been cynical and judgmental, people would not have asked him about the secret of real living and real life. Jesus was, and I say this reverently, wherever Jesus went, Jesus was the life of the party. Bet you hadn't thought of him that way before, had you? His faith was so joyful and attractive that people flocked to him because they wanted what they had. Look at the record. Twice the Pharisees attacked Jesus. They were upset over the fact that he and his disciples were having such a good time. Jesus shows us that we're God's children, and God is a gracious, merciful Father. Jesus' happiness did not depend on material possessions or outer circumstances. His gladness was rooted in a sense of mission partnership with God the Father. The Bible's a joyful book. Jesus was a joyful person. And thirdly, we need to remember that Christianity is a joyful faith. We see it in Paul, who was in prison. He had bad health. And yet he was able to say, "Rejoice with me." And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice always. We see it in St. Francis of Assisi, whose happiness was so contagious that even the animals were attracted to him. We see it in the great New England preacher, Phillips Brooks. A Boston newspaper once printed, The day was dark and gloomy, but Phillips Brooks walked down the street and all was bright. Joseph Haydn was a close friend of Mozart and a teacher of Beethoven. A friend once asked Haydn why his church music was so full of joy. He said, "I cannot make it otherwise. I write according to the thoughts I feel. And when I think upon my God, my heart is so full of joy that the notes dance and leap from my pen. And since God has given me a cheerful heart, I can do no other than serve him with a cheerful spirit." The songwriter said, "I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." Squire Parsons wrote a song that says, "I sing because there's an empty grave. I sing because there's a power that saves. I sing because his grace is real to me. I sing because I am not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing through all eternity." If we can't sing, we can laugh. If we can't laugh, we can at least smile to let the world know that God is alive and well in our hearts. There's a chorus that maybe you remember singing. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins he'll wash away, your night he'll turn to day, your life he'll make it over anew. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today, we thank you for the joy that you give. In spite of life, in spite of this world, in spite of circumstances, we thank you that we can have a deep, abiding joy to see us through each moment of every day. We pray that you would remind us that even when the clouds roll in, the sun is still shining. Remind us, Lord, that even when life seems so fretful and fitful, that your love and grace are sufficient. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with us as we sing, "He Touched Me."
Thank you.
Now may the love and joy of God overfill and overflow your hearts, that you might leave this place to change the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.